Nearly 300 people trooped into the BCPA last night to give their thoughts about a welcoming cities ordinance. That's a measure to limit cooperation between police and federal immigration officials. In a moment, you'll hear reaction from Mayor Terry Renner regarding the ordinance. Most of the crowd favored passage of an ordinance. Those who gave public comment were more evenly divided. Here's some of the testimony given to aldermen.
When families are afraid of deportation in our community, it affects all of us. No amount of kind words or welcoming immigrant yard signs can make up for good policy. My faith tradition speaks directly to the welcoming of the stranger as we ourselves would wish to be treated. And when families live in fear, they become victims.
While God is a God of love, He's also a God of justice. He also commands that we obey the laws. And the laws of this land, number one, are that illegal aliens are to be deported. Two, if you pass this, you will handcuff the police even further by not allowing them to do their job and promote justice.
According to the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, nationwide, black immigrants make up just 5.4% of the undocumented population. However, they make up 10.6% of immigrants in removal proceedings between 2003 and 2015. Currently, in Bloomington, people who are stopped by the cops are subject to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers being alerted to their arrests because the Department of Homeland Security has said that ICE can use DACA information to deport people under arrest. And as we know, black people are much more likely than members of any other group to be stopped by police. And that's just not right.
This welcoming city ordinance has just pushed me over the edge. Bloomington is fine as it is now. We're friendly and we're welcoming now, and I will see to it that my money does not stay in Bloomington. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm against it.
We as a community do not want deportations to be happening with our resources. We want everyone to feel that they can work with the police and access any kind of service they need in a time of crisis without fear that they will then be transferred to ICE.
Illegal. It's criminal, whether we like it or not. Tying our hands on selective laws is against the law. Do you think they're not looking for a community of this size in which to make an example of on this welcoming communities, sanctuary cities? You have to ask yourself, is the city prepared to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in court with the federal court? And trust me, their budget's a lot bigger than ours.
Imagine yourself if your child's in danger and your child's threatened. What do you do to protect your child? You'll do everything you can to protect your child. So tonight I'm thinking of a family 2,000 years ago whose child was threatened. We call that baby Jesus. And they had to flee to Egypt because they were in danger. Well, we don't know how the Egyptian people reacted. We don't know if Egyptian people said, "You're taking our jobs." But somehow they survived and they were able to return to their home. So I want to give commendation to the people of Egypt 2,000 years ago for protecting a family that many people worship and feel very strongly about.
I have observed many signs here tonight that have said, "Stop tearing families apart." Don't blame me about breaking up families. No one is putting the blame where it should lie, which is on the parents of those coming into our country illegally. They're the ones placing their families into the possibility of being left alone if they are deported, because they have not followed the legal way to come into this country.
A recent study by Tom Wong of the University of California, San Diego, showed that counties that have ordinances like the ones you're considering tonight have 35.5 fewer crimes per 10,000 people. They have a higher median income, lower unemployment, lower poverty, and these effects are more pronounced in counties with smaller populations.
We are opposed to deportation of non-criminal undocumented immigrants. Furthermore, the League of Women Voters of Illinois has stated its opposition to the deputization of state and local police to enforce immigration laws in Illinois.
The Justice Department wants Americans to believe that recent upticks in violent crime are tied to undocumented immigrants or cities' failure to get tough on crime. The facts do not support that narrative. The reality is that crime may increase in places where crime victims and witnesses are fearful of working with law enforcement.
People who commented at the Bloomington Council meeting in no particular order: Robert Workman, Jill Blair, Mike Matika, Louis Gosland, Cinnamon Porter, Joe Walden, Don Carlson, David Edes, Maura Tora Morin, Emily Vigneri, and Mary Meyer. GLT's Charlie Schlinker produced that snapshot. Mayor Terry Renner was there with the Bloomington Council to hear the comments firsthand, and he joins us most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. We'll also talk about new signage for downtown Bloomington and additional taxpayer dollars to prop up the Coliseum. Mayor, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Your reaction to what you heard last night and what we just played back for you.
Well, yeah, I think that we had a very, well, comparatively civil discussion last night. Mostly, not everybody, but most everyone was very respectful of other people's opinions and attitudes. And I think that's the essence of a democracy, to have a robust public conversation. And the public comment was expanded in addition to the half hour or so we had a week or two ago. We had an hour of public comment last night, and then we had additional comments once we had our regular meeting, at 7 o'clock, because this was a special meeting. I thought that overall, in fact, when somebody asked for the people to stand up, it seemed like of the, and I've heard various estimates, 300-350 people who maybe have shown up, the overwhelming majority were in favor of the ordinance. I think the people who were in favor of the ordinance were much better, more effectively organized last night than the opponents. And I think their arguments, frankly, were much more cogent.
Is that kind of public input helpful? Do you think it helps sway or push aldermen toward a decision one way or the other?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the alderman. Did it affect me? Well, you know, I have my own view of this, and I've made it quite clear 8 or 9 months ago.
And you've made it clear on Sound Ideas.
And I made it clear everywhere I go. People ask me, yes, I am absolutely in favor of a welcoming city ordinance. Is that a sanctuary city ordinance? Well, you know, I'm not going to play with semantics. Not exactly. But we need to make it clear to people that you can call the police. We do not enforce the national immigration policies. If you've been a victim of a domestic battery, you can call the police without fear of deportation, or if your visa is expired. We got to understand that this is not just people who are coming over from Mexico. There are people whose visas have expired. We've got a Trump administration, frankly, who is dragging their feet on these kinds of things and making our immigration laws, which are a total mess,
worse. Yeah, that leads into another question, which is why now?
Because, I think it's quite clear why now.
Because there aren't a lot of, I mean, if you go back 15 years, the Bloomington Police Department has not assisted federal authorities.
During the Obama administration, we didn't have a push for this.
Right, and there was no, and BPD hasn't assisted federal authorities in any deportations.
Right.
So what's happened?
I think what's happened is people are afraid. I think given the rhetoric of the national administration and some of the actions of the national administration, it is up to local officials to stand up and to say what we are for, what our values are, and why we strongly support, for example, the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. We heard some people talking about laws. Laws have to be consistent with the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution of the United States says that everyone should be guaranteed the equal protection of the laws, regardless of whether they are citizens. Now, Trump wants to, during the campaign, talked about repealing that provision of the 14th Amendment, but he's not going to be successful at that. And at this point, that is part of that, that core. And that's part of who we are as Bloomington or any human society. If you embrace diversity, that's where you make progress. If you start to vilify people, regardless of whether they are African-Americans or Mexicans or Jews or some other quote-unquote, other group of people, that's not been on the pretty side of humanity. And while I'm mayor, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut about what's good about human beings and why we should pursue the better part of humanity, not our worst instincts.
Do your views as mayor put you in opposition to Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Heffner last night?
No.
Or to some of the things he said. He has some concerns about some of the language.
I'm very interested in, you know, and Brendan and I have talked about this many, many, many times. We do have to coordinate. Let's say if we're dealing with human trafficking, there will be times where we might need to coordinate with other law enforcement agencies and the part of ICE that does deal with that. I do understand some of his concerns. I can also say that I think we can probably work this out.
And that was some of what Scott Black had. That's one of his points,
exactly,
was that ICE is a large organization.
Right.
It's divided up into different units, and some maybe are worth or should be considered more seriously in terms of cooperation with local authorities.
Right, and, this is not either or. There was a gentleman who spoke last night who said, are we going to have gangs or are we going to have the police run our city? That's such a false choice.
In fact, Louis Gosselin, who we heard from, who made some comments earlier on this program, made the point of saying, well, the council was elected by the people to run the city.
That's absolutely correct. And those are the people who are going to make the decision on this. So, and I think what the main thing that a welcoming city ordinance does is it codifies our value system. And if it can have people understand who are currently afraid to call the police when they're victims of violence or other crimes, that they can call the police. And we go on record in Bloomington as leading in the Midwest for, frankly, a very bad series of actions by the federal government, then I am very much okay with that. In fact, I strongly support that with every fiber of my being.
Was there a consensus among council to move forward toward a resolution or an ordinance last night? What's your sense of what aldermen want to do?
Well, at first, because I asked if there were any objections, no one raised their hand, and then Alderman Sage said, I didn't hear a consensus or something, was concerned about having consensus. And I thought, okay, fair enough, let's go. And we went, this is one of the reasons why we were a little late. it was, as by my count, 6-3. Six of the council members wanted to go ahead with drafting an ordinance. And frankly, we've already got a draft.
Which is basically what Alderman Black suggested, which was adjust the language,
exactly.
Run it past the police department, see if we can bring this back to aldermen.
Right. And as I say, we already have something very close to that. There's very little tweaking. There were some people who said, we're going to spend a lot of staff time on this. No. My guess is you could have Jeff Juergens and Rasmussen and Brendan Hefner in the same room, and in 15 minutes, if it would take that long, they could come up with, they could tweak the version that we already have that codifies our current practices. We don't administer ICE's immigration policies right now.
Are you confident that the language can be tweaked, as you put it, without hollowing out the effectiveness of what an ordinance might do?
Yes.
Okay. What about getting input from the town of Normal and McLean County government on any similar plans? Should you be in lockstep with other communities, other governments in the area?
I would hope that in this case, I don't have a problem with Bloomington taking the lead on moving forward with codifying the better part of humanity. And I would hope that that the town of Normal and McLean County would follow us. We don't always have to go lockstep and barrel. We can have situations where one or more of us takes the lead. It's not always been Bloomington that's taken the lead on things.
So January, February, do you think it might come back to
Alderman? I don't see any reason why we need to delay this beyond January.
Does it even matter when it's the sheriff's department personnel at the McLean County Jail using a federal database to flag people as they come into the jail? The database says, well, this person's undocumented. And then
if they get to jail, and that's part of what many people are concerned about, is not that they're going to even be in jail. There are many people who I've talked to. In fact, one woman whose son is not only was born in the United States, is a citizen. Her visa expired. She can't get her visa continued. She had another son who committed a domestic battery on her, and she was afraid to call the police. She did not call the police. And so she thought that
she'd afraid that they were going to ask for her papers.
They were going to ask for her papers or something. So it's much more complicated than I think some of the opponents are understanding.
That's Mayor Terry Renner. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is Sound Ideas on GLT. VenueWorks has been operating the Coliseum since April of 2016. Since then, a manager has been criminally charged in connection with improperly using a credit card. They've reported an operating loss of $674,000 in the last fiscal year. Last night received $375,000 more in taxpayer dollars to keep it in the black. Is there an expiration date on VenueWorks managing the Coliseum? They have a 5-year contract. Do you think they'll continue beyond that 5 years?
Well, it's a 5-year contract, but it is subject to renewals. So this is not something that's ironclad. But
there's some uneasiness among aldermen.
There's more than uneasiness on my part. So, look, you got to understand, we obviously have a situation where VenueWorks came in a little over a year and a half ago, and they inherited one heck of a mess. And there are some things that have still been bumps and starts. As I've said before on your program, I'm concerned about how they're even managing some of the concessions. I'm concerned about us not having enough bookings. Now, let's also be clear, by the time they came in April of 2016, that season was pretty much dead. So we do have to understand that. We do have naming rights. There are a lot of things that are coming forward. Yeah, you know, in the past, we have had a several hundred thousand dollar subsidy. That's not a good thing to have a several hundred thousand dollar subsidy. And so we're going to try to work with them to see about bringing that down.
A robust discussion the next time that contract's up for renewal.
Absolutely be certain of that. And long before that, every time this comes up, there'll be a very robust discussion.
Has VenueWorks had enough time, do you think, to turn it around?
I think they've had enough time to turn some things around. The bookings, I think, is another question. The concessions are still mystifying to me. I think they've had enough time to turn the concessions around. If somebody wants to pay too much for beer, and there should not be a long line. You should have people there ready to take their cash.
Do you think that when this contract is up for renewal again, that it would be renewed?
I can't project into the future what would happen. In one sense, I hope so, because that means that the good things will have happened between now and then.
Can we find a mayor who can do that? Look into the future?
There are a lot of people who will make stuff up.
It might make this interview more.
or make promises. I like to under-promise and over-deliver.
So we've talked, we've had this conversation before here on Sound Ideas about breaking even. Former city manager David Hales and I have talked on Sound Ideas about the goal of getting VenueWorks to break even on Coliseum operations. Is that still a goal, and is it realistic or achievable?
I think it's a goal. It remains to be seen whether it's realistic. If we can get some anchor project in downtown that I've been fighting for 4.5 years, that's in our comprehensive plan, that's in our downtown revitalization plan, even if it's not the front and center building, we're working on the C2 East building. We're working on many other projects downtown. There's also the possibility of having the library and Connect Transit move to the south. There's any number of things that could and would affect the profitability of the Coliseum.
What can you say about the C2 East building? What's happening there?
I can't talk about the details of it because it's all, at this point, these are private investors.
So do you think that VenueWorks should at least be doing better than Central Illinois Arena Management? Now, certainly their number.
Oh, yes.
Certainly their
number. Well, they're not stealing from us.
SIAM's numbers might be a little suspect here, but, yes. You know, $675,000 subsidy last year. They're projecting something like that for the following, for this coming fiscal year, another subsidy about like that. SIAM posted, you know, $500,000 losses, so less than what VenueWorks.
Well, that's also what they posted. We will see at the end of the day how much they actually took from us and took from taxpayers. They wouldn't be under indictment right now if those numbers were not fuzzy math, to put it charitably.
This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media. The mayors of Normal and Bloomington join us most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Mayor Terry Renner is in the studio. Alderman signed off on new signage for downtown. This is more than signs announcing you've arrived in downtown.
Absolutely.
Or helping to set up the boundaries. What all are we talking about?
Well, we're going to have a gateway arch coming in to downtown, though it'll be clear. So one of the signs was up actually kind of as a test run, I believe, last week. We've seen them. They're kind of historic teal. They're consistent with the historic character of downtown. And it's about time. Proper signage is critical. Now, you and I may know where things are downtown, but Route 66 visitors or people who are coming from the interstate or visiting our downtown, we want our downtown to be a destination, an engine of economic growth. And in order for that to happen, you've got to have good parking and you have to have good signage. And that will also attract more capital investment.
So more than gateways, this is wayfinding.
This is gateways and
David
wayfinding.
Davis goes this way to get
That's
to
right.
the museum. It's this way. So you mentioned some of this. There is, of course, some of the typical criticism that sounds sort of like, why is this important with everything else that is happening in the city, or how do people not know where they are? Do you want to address that criticism?
Absolutely. I've had somebody say, well, any damn fool knows where the BCPA mm-hmm. is. Well, no, not if they're visiting our community. No, they don't. You do need wayfinding. You do need proper signage. You do need gateways. Those are all the critical elements to downtown revitalization pretty much anywhere. And we certainly need that in our downtown. If our downtown, which is right on Route 66, right off an interstate, as we invest in that and we want that to be an engine of economic growth, I hate to say that over and over again, but that's exactly what it is. It's not just something for us to improve our own quality of life. It is something that will help improve jobs and the image of Bloomington.
Some of this is branding. Right.
So some of it is branding.
So you're developing a brand image for downtown Bloomington. Is that brand likely to leak into other areas? Are we going to see it on letterhead? Are you going to see it on hats and T-shirts?
I hope so. I'll scream it from the mountaintops in Bloomington. Oh, wait a minute. There aren't any.
And the process for the signs, it was a little drawn out. There was a trip back to the drawing board. You want to comment about the process?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know that it was. I think that's inside baseball. I mean, at this point, we've got a timetable, and by late spring, you should begin to see even more of that in downtown Bloomington. And I think, I think it will also be something that, I'm meeting with some potential investors in about 2 weeks. I think that's something else that will be very attractive. We've got a plan.
Investors for the C2 East building?
Investors in downtown.
All right.
And this is something that I can make it clear. We not only have a downtown plan, a comp plan, we're investing, we've got wayfinding, we've got signage, and we are on the move. There's action in Bloomington. There hasn't been for a long time. There is now, and we're making progress. And as long as we can make that case, we're going to get private investment in our downtown, and we're going to move our community forward.
Improvements are coming to the zoo, more and improved parking, a new roof, a new concession stand.
I think that's a great idea.
The parking lot improvement is, in addition to adding more spaces, is a safety issue as well.
It's a safety issue, right. 64 spaces plus safety issues.
What's the safety issue?
Safety issue is right now you actually have to cross a street, and often are the people who visit the zoo are small. And sometimes
kids, children.
They're
right?
Kids who, we've all been kids. We haven't always, they don't always obey perhaps traffic signs, or they sometimes dart out. And so this is a safety issue plus 64 spaces plus a concession stand, and it's going to pay for itself. So now I'm sure there may be doubting Thomases out there who are still, money's going to it, but it's going to pay for itself. And then once it's done, it's going to make us money.
Let's talk about Miller Park Zoo's track record. The controversy over the flamingo exhibit is sort of passed on, but the flamingo actually turned into a symbol for some people who oppose this kind of spending on amenities.
It did.
The flamingo exhibit is actually performing better than expected.
It is performing better than expected, but even conservative estimates, this was another radio station, that it was a very strong ideological radio station that promoted this. And when I explained to people the facts, they said, oh, we didn't realize that. And the facts were that we put in about $150,000. We got a $150,000 private match. So for $150,000 of taxpayer money, we got a $300,000 economic hit. And it was projected to pay for itself in 2 years, and as you'd get your money back. If you took flamingos out of it, who wouldn't put $150,000 down if you could get another $150,000 immediately and have it all paid for within 2 years? I mean, it was cheap political theater by some on the extreme far right, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
I think the projected attendance increase was expected to be 5%. I think the Miller Park Zoo flamingo exhibit, at least they're crediting the flamingos for an 8% bump in attendance.
Right. And at the end of the day, I want to see it. I want to see the final auditing after the April 30th before I make any comment on the specifics. But that was a very conservative estimate that we were going to get all of our money back within 2 years.
All right, Terry, thanks for coming by Sound Ideas.
Thank you, Mike.
And at the end of 2017, I'll say thanks again for your ongoing commitment to keep our listeners informed through your regular visits. We appreciate it.
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much.
Happy New Year. Mary Terry Renner is the mayor of Bloomington. Mayor Chris Koos, also a regular guest on Sound Ideas here on GLT. I'm Mike McCurdy.